made with assistance from the Community Broadcasting Foundation and heard around the world online.
You're listening to Zed Games, where we bring you the best in gaming news, reviews, community and culture.
Want to get in touch? Be sure to check us out on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram. Coming at you live from 4ZZZ Studios. I'm back. My name's Jack.
Dad's back.
Who are you?
I've been out for 3 weeks.
Dad's back, everyone.
In China, but not quite China, because there's only one China, but I'm not going to talk about this on air. I'm in studio with Adrian,
hey.
Kate,
hi.
And Millie. Did you all really miss me, or were you all just lying?
I missed you.
No,
we
I don't know, man.
There we go.
I kind of like pressing the buttons.
It's all mine now.
Yeah, he's easy.
As he fiddles.
I'll fiddle with my buttons, dude. No, you're down. And he's gone.
It's good to have you back pushing the buttons again. You've got some beautiful, beautiful nails on as well.
I did do my nails.
Black matching nails for black knobs.
So it's like, wow, don't you dare.
Well,
no, they're not quite black. They're like kind of like a dark grey. They've got
like a dark taupe.
Yeah.
Isn't it like a green?
I'm digging it.
No. Oh, well, I mean.
Well, the taupe is like a grey and a brown.
It's a gentle green.
There's like a glitter in it where it's like a cyan-y kind of glitter. Aww. So it kind of tints that way.
Can you just give me like the color hex code for that one?
No, we're not. So on this week's show, probably should talk about that.
No.
Adrian, you've been reviewing Devil May Cry. You will be reviewing Devil May Cry 5.
The fifth one. Yes, I have.
Which
Let's
is
talk about those beautiful boys.
Oh, there are a lot of beautiful boys. There's a trio of beautiful boys.
Damn good looking.
Including Adam Driver for some reason. But we'll get to that later on in the show.
Oof.
I'm really hot for all of them.
Oh, same.
Millie, you're going to be talking about Event Zero.
I am. I only discovered this game about 2 weeks ago now because it was recommended on a little BuzzFeed article. Don't judge me.
I'm already concerned.
BuzzFeed. But trust me. I'm going to bring you some gentle spoops. Some gentle spoops.
It's not even just like a spoop feature. It's literally just a game review that happens to be scary.
Yeah. Is it spoops in space?
Fight me.
Are they space?
I'm not saying it's bad.
Yeah, it's spoops in space.
I'm so keen.
It's spoops in space. And it's also 80s themed.
Intergalactic spoops. That's
reason.
Too much power.
80s, I find quite scary.
80s in space.
I love it.
None of us existed in the 80s. So in case you didn't feel old enough, listener, now you do.
Does the 80s exist
We are
in
the youngins.
Space?
Does the 80s exist at all?
Ooh, now we're getting too deep.
What is time?
This is what we discuss on Zed Games. And before we get to all of that, though, sorry, this is what happens. Right? I leave for 3 weeks and I come back and it's the most chaotic thing.
Zed Games, a space-time journey.
Like, we spend 3 hours talking about nails and how the 80s, like, don't really exist.
Life is an illusion. The time isn't
real.
We
should just start, like a full spoken word podcast. Us just whinging.
We'll start a spin-off of us just like screaming for like 30 minutes on the website.
We did that. It was called Brisplaining. It's not happening anymore.
Oh, please, can we? I wasn't part of that.
We'll revisit that actually. But before we do, here is the week in gaming news.
Across Australian radio and across the world online, from 4ZZZ Studios, this is Adrian Navratil with your weekly Zed Games news update. EA Games has laid off around 350 of its 9,000 employees due to organisational changes. CEO Andrew Wilson stated that these layoffs will allow EA to better deliver on our commitments, refine our organisation, and meet the needs of our players. He went on to say that, as part of this, we have made changes to our marketing and publishing organisation, our operations teams, and we are ramping down our current presence in Japan and Russia as we focus on different ways to serve our players in those markets. EA says it will look after affected staff and help them transition to new roles, but they haven't detailed how. This news comes just over a month after EA laid off up to 50 staff members at the Australian Fire Monkey studio. Apple is launching a subscription-based game service called Apple Arcade. The service will provide unlimited access to curated titles from the App Store, from partners like Sega, Konami, Disney, Sumo Digital, and Cartoon Network. Apple says it'll deliver over 100 exclusive titles for Apple Arcade's launch by contributing to the development costs and working closely with creators to bring the games to life. Games included in the service will be playable across iOS, macOS, and Apple TV, with the option to also play offline. Apple Arcade will launch in over 150 countries this spring, but pricing details are yet to be confirmed. PlayStation delivered its first ever State of Play livestream, featuring a slew of upcoming game announcements. Sony doubled down on support for virtual reality, announcing Marvel's Iron Man VR. And in perhaps the best ever redemption arc for a game, No Man's Sky Beyond is receiving a super slick VR mode. A first-person shooter follow-up to London Heist, Blood and Truth, is releasing on the 28th of May too. And we also scored a new look at the narratives of Mortal Kombat 11, Days Gone, and Concrete Genie. And Nintendo's announced a swath of indie games coming to the Nintendo Switch in a recent Nintendo Direct livestream. Hard as Nails platformer Cuphead, Zelda rhythm-based spin-off Cadence of Hyrule, and my personal favourite shown at PAX Oz 2018 Neo Cab are all coming to the platform. Other titles include Overland, My Friend Pedro, The Red Lantern, Dark Wood, Stranger Things 3, and more. Don't forget to hit up the Nintendo eShop and support your indie faves. And that's all for now. For more gaming updates, check us out on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as at ZEDGamesAU.
Just bantering into the mic before that segment ends. I mean, I know you're keen to get to it, mate, but I mean...
Thanks me for that new segment.
Back to you in the studio, Adrian.
Back to myself.
So you were like... Oh, that's my headphones are falling out.
As usual.
Your fave was Neo Cab. Tell me about Neo Cab.
Neo Cab was great. So it's basically like, you know, Uber driving, but in a dystopian cyberpunk setting. You know?
I love it.
I'm into it.
And it's like choice. It's choose your own adventure style. You get to interact with characters and choose how you respond to them. And it looks like it's going to have a real kind of hefty emotional core to it. Kind of reminded me of like the Walking Dead Telltale series, but you're an Uber driver.
When you get that 2-star rating, you're going to be heartbroken.
You're going to, yeah.
Ooh.
I love that, like, I feel like I'm seeing plenty of Melbourne devs doing it. And the one that comes to mind is like Necro Barista, where it's like, let's take a game idea and let's take a real life idea and put them together and have these really weird situations. Like,
let's just do real life
post-apocalyptic Uber.
Just plug those things together. Yeah, it works. Absolutely.
Also,
what is going on?
It's... What are video games? What do they mean?
What is this show?
We try and break it down for you.
Why am I here?
What? What's it? Wait, what's
we're
a video
all
game?
Really existential today. Like, okay, you were saying Mercury's in retrograde.
Oh,
like,
it is. It
we
is
are feeling a bit wonky
ride.
Today. Yeah, it's the rainy weather in Brisbane, I think.
I will quickly say the highlight for me from that Nintendo Direct was Cadence of Hyrule. It is Crypt of the Necrodancer. Like, the team that made Crypt of the Necrodancer is developing Cadence of Hyrule. And it's basically the same game, except Zelda.
Like, it's really good to see this too, because Nintendo's become a lot more casual and relaxed with licensing its IP in other games. I mean, we had Star Fox in Battle for Atlas, Starlink.
Yes.
And we had the Rain.
They just love Ubisoft. Rayman,
the Rabbids.
Yeah,
Rabbids.
Rabbids
Kingdom Battle. Yeah. But this is the first time I think they've just straight up given like an IP like Zelda to an indie studio? Maybe?
I'm not sure if it's a first.
I'm not for sure, but like, it's good to see this continuing, and it's good to see it happen in a Nintendo indie showcase, of all the places.
That's true.
It's really cool.
It's not the first time, like, obviously, those two games you said earlier are like, done by external studios, like...
And AAA as well, and Ubisoft, actually, because Ubisoft and Nintendo, historically, good relationship. Yeah, yeah.
It's not the first time Zelda's been touched by an outside studio, but we won't talk about the full
hopefully
CDI
it's
versions.
Better.
I was going to say, like, the CDI, yeah.
Dinner!
Well, excuse me! Oh, wait, no, that was the actual cartoon, but yes.
Jesus.
I can't wait to bomb some Dodongos.
Link, you must go to Koridai.
Squad alive! We're off.
We'll get some recordings of the CDI game and we'll play it on air. It'll be horrendous.
Do we really want to subject the listeners to that?
Yes.
Oh, no.
Welcome back to YouTube Poop 2006.
I miss
now
YouTube.
On FM.
YouTube Poop, yeah. The pre-Vine.
Yeah, the pre-Vine.
The pre-Vine
basically.
Poop.
Oh, God. Actually, no.
Without Logan Paul.
Pre-2006 YouTube
so much
Poop
better.
Was weird. You are hanging out on Zed Games, whether you like it or not. You've probably tuned out by now. My name's Jack. I'm in studio with Adrian,
no,
Kate,
they love
and
us.
Millie.
They do love us.
Millie.
Hi.
What is Event Zero?
I am so ready to talk about this because this game has me by the heartstrings. I love it.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
This guttural sound. So keen.
Okay, here we go. So, Event Zero is a narrative-driven exploration game where you have to build a relationship with a lonely AI aboard a spacecraft built in the 80s.
I love it.
That's a really good way just to sort of summarize it.
It feels very bleak already.
Mm, yeah. So you have to build this relationship with Kaizen, and he's the AI, and he, in order to progress the game any further, as the ship you're aboard, the Nautilus, is essentially Kaizen's body. So in order to go anywhere, you have to ask him to open doors, you have to ask him to move elevators and everything like that. Kaizen has over 2 million lines of dialogue.
Cool.
That's a lot.
And will react positively or negatively based on your responses to his questions or your questions towards him. Your main goal is to get back to Earth because your spaceship crashed. I won't spoil too much because essentially the game introduces you as this sort of blank slate character.
Right.
Aboard a mission to Mars, a new planet in space.
Right, okay.
So I won't spoil too much because it actually is kind of story driven.
Mm.
Your main goal is to get back to Earth, but Kaizen is standing in your way, basically, because you're trapped in this 80s ship.
Do you start out with the AI actively disliking you?
No, he's just like, hi, how you doing?
Right.
Okay. Kind of like Hal from Space Odyssey.
I'm getting there. I'm getting there.
Yeah.
So, will you befriend this lonely AI, or will you rebel against your robot overlord? That's your choice.
So you do have the choice. It's not
You've
like
got choices. So
you can just kind of run him into the ground and take advantage.
I mean, here's where I start.
Right, okay.
You let her talk, Jack.
Shut.
Jesus. You come back for one session.
Let's go.
Yeah. So you have two controls in the game. It's very simple. Your mouse and your keyboard, but it's not with a typical WASD control scheme.
Oh, no.
For those gamers who don't understand WASD, W-A-S-D. Yeah.
It's like a wasp with buttons.
Or W-SAD.
big move.
You run with your mouse, and you talk to Kaizen with the keyboard. It's a little bit immersive,
you know? Funky.
All
right. So it's all through the terminal.
You right-click... left-click to run, right-click to run backwards. So it's really funny.
I love that. Just like, you flying backwards.
That's actually a horror movie essentially, where people start walking backwards, so let's not.
So essentially you just sort of like run up to a console and you type to Kaizen. And he just watches you type and then like he responds to you. With his 2 million lines of dialogue, oh my god, it's terrifying.
I was going to say, when I first looked at this, it very much looked like Fallout Terminal, the game. Yes. Like those terminals.
Yes, so those the terminals aren't like, you know, a typical computer. It's like a huge, bulky 80s dinosaur terminal.
Big DOS machine.
And it goes, when you boot it up.
Beautiful. So, I mean, some of our computers still do that.
Yeah, they still do that.
Good live
beatboxing
there. So,
this game was developed by Ocelot Society in 2006 for Mac and Windows, so I got to play it.
Sorry.
Thanks, guys.
2006?
2006.
Not 16?
I think it's 2016.
Yeah, I was going to be like...
Good night, everyone! Yeah.
3 years ago, cool.
Old games, retro game reviews.
Yeah. I wrote this pretty late at night. Sorry, everyone, when I was playing the game. And it offers multiple endings for you to discover and a little secret ending that the developer didn't even mean to put in it, but I won't spoil anything.
It was an accidental ending?
That AI learns a bit too much is probably the best way to put it. It's very smart.
I love it when that happens.
It's a bit GLaDOS up in here.
No, I don't. Hey.
Sophia the robot is coming for all of us.
Yeah.
Thanks, Zuck.
Sophia the robot is one step closer to Connor, so I'm not complaining. Brian, love me.
You're just real thirsty again.
You love Detroit.
Yeah, I love Detroit.
Being human.
So, it has multiple endings for you to discover depending on how you treat Kaizen and what you discover about the Nautilus and its mysteriously absent crew.
What happened to them?
This is a Doctor Who episode.
There was crew members. Where are they? This ship's been in space since the 80s.
So it's basically just
where's the crew?
It's just alien, but with an AI. So it's alien.
You're in a ship that was made in the 80s.
Yes.
What year is it?
It's like 2012.
Oh,
what year is it?
No, it's so it's set in the 80s. No, it's set 30 years after.
So there's this random ship floating in space from the 80s that your ship lands on.
I would not feel safe in that ship at all.
And literally, it's like, and here we go.
Oh, boy.
Okay, so. If you guys know me, which you do, you know my love for abandoned objects. How did I get here?
Nice to meet you.
But one of my absolute favorite things about abandoned objects is the era that they left behind, right? So the Nautilus is so tackly 80s. Some of the wallpaper burnt my eyes.
Oh, yeah.
It's like orange. It's like, BAM!
Some kitchen interior.
You can almost smell the orange musty carpet. Thick with age and space dust.
I smell enough of Triple Z.
I know, right? Yeah. Kaizen talks you through, like I said, a chunky dinosaur monitor that goes, meh, when it boots up. And it's like, doesn't even make, like, dial-up noises. It's that old. Yet it still gives you a delightful chill down your back as it's so deathly quiet, because in space no one can hear you scream.
So because it takes ages to boot up, and you're like, well, this seems a little bit weird, and then you're just sitting there waiting for a response, and it's just silence, and you're like, well, this is not very comfortable.
Well, Kaizen is pretty quick to respond because it's an AI, but everything around you is silence, unless you upset Kaizen, which means the ship will go in the background. You're like,
sorry if I missed this.
Or he shuts doors, you know, just in your face.
Does Kaizen have a voice, or is it just purely text based?
He does talk to you, actually.
Yeah.
But it's very, very computerized, like an 80s robot noise, like beep, 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 beep. But so essentially, if you go, hi, Kaizen, he'd be like, hello, user.
Like that sort of yes, right. Like the time we did the Cleverbot live to our segment.
Yeah, it's like a Cleverbot, yeah. Basically.
Hello.
Wait, did I miss this?
You did.
You did.
There was a part of the show when you were away in Hong Kong where it was basically just us going,
yeah. I know, I remember,
this
don't.
Is Zed yeah, Games.
No, we're not going to bring that back.
I am Cleverbot.
I forgot, and I don't want to remember.
So, I'd recommend this game because, and I don't want to spoil anything because, really, you're trapped in this 80s nightmare.
I love it.
And only Kaizen holds the answer to your ending. So I don't want to spoil anything, like, but literally, I just jumped blind into this game because I was recommended it because someone said, oh, the AI learns. I'm like, oh, I love AI. Like, tell me. You're just blind. You go straight into this game and Kaizen is your guide through the whole thing.
So as far as the gameplay itself, you move with the mouse, you type to Kaizen with your keyboard. Are you basically just trying to have a conversation with him to navigate through the ship?
Yes. You want to get home and Kaizen goes, so do you want to go home? You're like, yeah. My ship just burst. What am I doing here? Where is this place? And he goes, well, you have to help me first. So
is it kind of puzzle solving or is it just kind of
basic?
There's
no puzzle solving. All it is conversation, essentially.
Oh, okay.
But you can explore the ship as much as you want, but you can only get so far without talking to Kaizen.
Right.
Is there any, open the pod bay door?
Yes. So you have to talk to him. So in order to get outside even the spaceship, you have to be like, Kaizen, open this door. And he can be like, no, I don't want you to leave. I'm lonely.
Aww. So does he actually say that?
Yes. Okay, right. But if you've annoyed him beforehand, he can be like, nah.
I can't do that.
Can you please open the door? And he actually says, I can't help you with that. Sorry.
It's like calling up customer service.
But then you have to apologize to him too.
So my question is,
I'm sorry for yelling at you. Right. And he's like, it's okay, friend.
What is it with us in playing games and inadvertently giving relationship advice? Like with the last Guardian.
The last Guardian. Yeah.
The last dependency.
Yeah. Codependency out the window.
And it's like now, it's like, you've got to apologize to your partner. It's like, what if I don't want her?
So are you going to say, Kate?
I was just going to say, you have to make a relationship with this AI.
Mm-hmm.
How do relationships work? Tell me about that.
Well, essentially,
how do you copulate?
Because Adrian, because you get up because he controls the whole ship. Essentially, you have to be nice to him to get any further in the game.
Okay,
so
maybe
to build
the
relationship
question
with him is you can either sit there for 2 hours and just type at a terminal and be like, "So, what do you do? Who was on the ship?" That took me forever to actually ask him who was on the ship. And eventually he revealed that he was friends with one of the original crew members.
Do you hit him with an ASL?
We're not going back to this. I swear to God.
If you could see my face right now on radio, I'm just disappointed.
I'll make sure I post that later.
That's please. Fair. But the thing is that what I really loved about it is that it just, if you don't properly give yourself over to talking to him, it's just I just want to progress. He won't let you through. He's basically talking to another person, even though he's this cute little robot image in the corner, very 80s, and he's beep, 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 beep.
Mm.
But I accused him of lying once and the whole screen just glitched out and he's like, you're so funny.
So
you're joking, right?
And that's
terrifying. I'm sorry, Kaizen. And he's like, it's okay, buddy. Don't worry. I'll open the door for you. I'm like,
ha! Yeah. Oh my God. Jeez.
So sufficient amount of 80s nostalgia, it captures that zeitgeist perfectly.
Yes.
Cool.
The thing is that you sort of walk into the room, it's like, oh, spaceship. But then Kaizen goes, just give me a moment. And then you open the door and just 80s in your face.
Eye-piercing, yeah.
Basically. And then there's all these record players and stuff all over the floor, orange carpet, these seats that are space age. This is where we're going to be space.
Yeah.
That sort of thing, the atomic age, basically. Mm. So think Fallout, but without the nuclear apocalypse.
Love it.
Ruining everything. So essentially the start of Fallout 4. Just imagine that because I think Bethesda took a lot of influence from the atomic age to build
The Fallout universe.
The Fallout universe. Yeah, yeah. So very that sort of 80s theming, but built into the 50s.
So who is this game for?
Anyone.
Because it's at this point in time, it's if you're
I wouldn't
not
say for children.
It's a little bit much for that.
A little bit much for that. So what do you mean?
It's very, it seems very story-driven, but it's not so much a story as much as it is about character development. But obviously, through character development, you're trying to relive or discover more of the story. It doesn't seem like there's a big gameplay focus as much as there is a narrative focus.
I wouldn't call, I think this is one of those sort of non-games, I guess, because you're not run, jump, punch. You've got walk and type. That's all you've got.
Would a good question be, what mood is the game for?
I would poop your say pants. No, I wouldn't say it's terrifying, okay. But I would say if you were in the mood to play Portal, definitely
okay.
That.
Yeah. Okay.
Because Portal gives you that sort of where is everyone?
Like that
feeling
at the beginning of Portal 2 when yes. You're like, everything's falling apart and I've been asleep for hundreds of years or whatever else. And you're like, what's happened?
It's very much that, but without like the vines growing through the factory. Mm. It's sort of like that thing. The best way I can put it is sort of when GLaDOS is rebuilding the factory, but there's still a bit of dust around. Yeah. It's very much that because like you're looking at everything and like these furniture is still here. You're like, oh wow. But then you look on the table and there's like a half-eaten bowl of cereal and you're like,
oh,
and then you're unsettling. Like, but then like your character will like read what it is. Like it's like looking.
Yeah.
So you look and you read it and it just says expired cereal. So it's like, but then like you could turn around and you look at a monitor on the wall and it says estimated arrival time 0000 error. It's like,
yeah.
So it's definitely one of those games where if you enjoyed Portal and the feel that it gives you of like loneliness with only an AI as company, very much this is your game. And also if you enjoy sort of like those story-driven exploration games, I wouldn't play it if like COD is your favorite game, obviously, or not even Half-Life, because Half-Life is completely different too. But it's very much just like, it's a romp is probably the best way to put it. A gentle romp through the 80s and...
That can feel a little bit bleak sometimes.
A little bit bleak.
Yeah,
so,
love it.
Yeah, it's a gentle romp. That's my favourite word.
You love using the word romp.
I mean, it is because I played it for 2 hours by accident. So
that is determinably a romp. 2 hours. That's long enough.
Yeah, and I completed the game in that time.
Cool.
So
good on you.
Yeah, but
I like that.
As there's four different endings, like you can just replay it.
Yeah, you can.
And you can be mean to Kaizen or you can be nice to him. So
cool.
Really depends, and he can try and kill you. Just a heads up. So don't annoy him too much.
Mess him around.
Well,
too
there's
much.
One ending for us.
There's one ending where he kills you by throwing
goodbye.
You. Out of space.
Event Zero is the name of the game. It is available, looks to be through Steam.
Yeah, it's on Steam.
For Mac and Windows. You can also find it on itch.io.
Yeah, it's also on the developers page as well. Sort of paid $22 USD, I think.
Yeah, so their website's been taken down.
Really? Yeah. I was on it yesterday.
No, that's their itch site. So itch.io, it's got a link to their website, which has been taken down, and then their Twitter, but you can buy it through itch.io. So yeah.
Yeah.
Most people are going to be buying it on Steam. Event Zero on PC and Mac. Thank you for that, Millie.
No worries. So, Adrian.
Hello.
You've been playing Devil May Cry with those pretty boys and Kylo Ren for some reason.
They're all so hot.
So,
I've been getting up some devilish action.
Please tell us about it.
Yeah, yeah.
And you better be good because I can turn your mic down, so.
Yeah, no, for sure. So,
ready.
For those who aren't aware, Devil May Cry, long-standing series developed by Japanese studio Capcom, has had a cult following ever since it came out. It kind of isn't a surprise why it did. You've got this cool dude, this badass dude wearing a red trench coat. He's like basically like a silver fox, but he's not a silver fox. It's weird. He's got like gray hair, but like he's young.
But he's
like,
definitely a silver fox.
He totally is.
Like you'd smash.
I'd smash.
Yeah.
We'd all smash.
And like,
including Adrian.
Welcome to Thirst Games.
It came out in the early 2000s. Perfect time for that sort of like hack and slash combo style of gameplay.
This is like the original back on the PS2.
Yeah. The series has had quite a storied history since then. In 2013, I think it was.
It was 13.
2013, we had Ninja Theory take over the reins of the Devil May Cry series and make essentially what was a reboot, which was DMC Devil May Cry. I was a big fan of that game. I played that game all the way to completion. It was heavily derided by fans, though, just because it was such a departure. Giving the series to a Western studio, Ninja Theory, obviously meant that there was an overhaul in the direction of the game, including the art style.
Are there two game development companies with Ninja in their name? Isn't there Ninja Team Ninja?
There
well?
Is Team Ninja.
There is Team Ninja.
Yes.
So Ninja Theory is based in Britain. So they were previously, like, years and years and years ago under Argonaut Games, which shut down, I think, in 2004. They've actually since been acquired by Xbox Game Studio, so we're probably not going to see them working on any sort of Capcom titles. Probably stuff under Microsoft.
Yeah, but. And so as a British studio, DMC Devil May Cry, which was actually my first proper foray into the series, had a real unique sense of kind of, like, this British pop-punk vibe to it. I really appreciated that. It was very, like, anti-authoritarian. There was a lot of interesting sort of thematic things going on with that game.
It was just bizarre.
It was.
Wall to wall. Jeez.
Yep. So jumping into DMC, jumping into DMC 5, which is now picking up the main series, and you're just kind of like leaving the Ninja Theory reboot like just in the dust. Like, yes, see you, mate.
It didn't happen.
Just forget about that one, all right?
Just leave it in the bin.
It was good. Don't talk crap about my
critically
boy.
Acclaimed, not reclaimed by.
Yeah. It was received critically quite well.
Yes.
The fans were like, but this teenager Dante is too whiny and too, like, snarky. And I'm like, I don't care.
He was hot.
A, he was hot. But B, the game was just so weird.
Yeah.
The level design, the visual design, the gameplay was really, really tight, which made it feel good to play. Mm. But everything else about it was just nuts.
Yeah. And it didn't meet Capcom sales expectations. I think they were projecting,
that
like,
was probably another
2 million-ish, and they only got, like, 1.2 million-ish.
But this was also towards the end of the generation.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, you know... Fast forward to now, I'm jumping into Devil May Cry 5. Not really sure what's going on.
Is anyone sure what's going on?
So thankfully there is a story catch-up. The game does show you what happened in the previous games. Still doesn't really make much sense. Essentially, there are demons. They are invading the Earth.
Cool.
You are there to be a cool, sword-toting dude.
Edgy.
MFR.
Shadow the Hedgehog, just, basically.
MFR, yeah.
You are Shadow the Hedgehog, yes. Yeah.
Stop. <Yeah. laughs> No.
It's Shadow the Hedgehog with anime boys, basically.
Basically, yeah. So in this game, you have three characters. You have Nero, who is Jack Frost from Rise of the Guardians, basically.
It's not.
Yes.
You have V, who is just Adam Driver. He's just someone from Capcom saw.
He's gorgeous.
The new Star Wars movies and went, yep,
they're
he's
all gorgeous.
Throw him in there.
Essentially, yeah, V is just like copy-pasted Adam Driver's face. I'm surprised he hasn't sued yet.
Millie, how hot would you be if Ben Swallow was in Devil May Cry?
A 10 out of 10.
Like 20 out of 10.
20 out of 10. I'd be the sun. And then you've got.
Love it.
And then you got Dante, who's forgotten to shave for about 3 weeks.
I'm so fine with it.
Dante in this game kind of looks like. He definitely hasn't left his early 2000s roots. He looks like a cosplayer cosplaying a version of himself.
He's three edgy. Yeah.
It's not just like. Current day edgy, it's like 10 years ago edgy.
It's the Matrix
so
edgy.
Obviously 10 years ago edgy.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I
kind of
love it though.
Speaking of 10 years ago edgy, so Devil May Cry 5, it is a tight action game. It is fun to play. It does feel like it...
A bit dated.
It is a bit dated.
Yeah.
Visually, gorgeous.
Love it.
Mm. Art style in this game, fantastic.
And it's the same engine, I believe, as what Resident Evil 2 was in when... Because you played that one, Kate, and you were like, it looked good.
Yeah, good.
And
yeah.
Characters look great. Yeah. Art style looks great. The demons are fantastic. I love what they've done with the demons. Mm-hmm. Every single one is just a new, just amalgamation of poop. It's fantastic. Like, poop is the only way I can describe it because there's just some fantastically disgusting designs.
Call them, like, Bayonetta Angels-esque?
It's interesting, hey, because playing this game, you do think of Bayonetta in some ways because Platinum Studios has obviously taken a lot of inspiration from what Capcom did with Devil May Cry.
Yeah.
The designs in this are obviously more hellish. Yeah. Bayonetta had more clean designs.
I mean, in Bayonetta 2, the demons were in there too.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's true. I think I am getting some Bayonetta influence there.
Cool.
So that's been really good, just like the art style, experiencing that. You know, they've detailed all of these foul demon knaves in perfect quality. It's amazing. In terms of, you know, speaking to Platinum games though, playing this game, and I hate to compare it to other games, this game feels like it should have Platinum Games pacing. It doesn't.
Define Platinum Games pacing for those of us who don't know.
Breakneck speed, just balls to the wall action, which seamlessly transitions from cutscene to gameplay back to cutscene
to
gameplay.
It's not jarring. It's a smooth transition and it works throughout the length of the game, right? And when we're talking about Platinum Games, we're talking about games, I guess, Adrian, some examples would probably be like Nier Automata, I believe.
Nier Automata, however you want to pronounce it. Automata.
By the time of the Game Awards, it was like Nier Automata. And I'm like,
Automata, just forget the rest of that word. And you got Bayonetta as well. Yeah. Vanquish, Metal Gear Rising.
Right, okay.
Those games.
Gotcha.
So this game has more fade outs to black than a student film. You, from the moment
really
you jump...
more than Kingdom Hearts?
Like, oh my
you
god.
Really wanted to
no, Kingdom Hearts 3 was great for that because you transitioned from cutscene to gameplay perfectly. No, in 3, it was great because...
Yeah, but
you,
2 had plenty of fades
to
block.
Yes. That, what I'm saying is that in 3, they improved that.
Yeah.
This game has a real pacing issue because you go from these cutscenes that fade out to black and then you're suddenly in gameplay and there's no momentum carrying you through that. Mm. So you're constantly being taken out of gameplay to view these cutscenes and then brought back into gameplay in a really jarring fashion, and it happens a lot. Honestly, like, you jump into a level, and there's a cutscene, you move forward, you fight some enemies, it's great. fighting enemies, fantastic. Mm-hmm. And then in under 5 minutes, you're in another cutscene. Mm. That is probably, in terms of like as a holistic game, from a holistic game's perspective, mm-hmm. that is what was probably the worst thing about Devil May Cry 5 for me. In terms of the moment-to-moment action, though,
yeah, I was gonna
it
say.
Is fantastic.
Mwah, beautiful.
So yeah. good. So probably the best thing about this series and this game in particular is just fighting with yourself to get the best rank, because you're constantly being ranked on your fighting style.
Getting that E to D to C to B to... I forgot how
to
the
A,
ultimate...
To A, yeah. to S, to SS. And
so
I
X
like,
to triple X. Oh no, that's something else.
Oh yeah, but I mean, there's like a voiceover as you're fighting that's like ranking you, and it's like badass, and then like A is like awesome,
awesome,
and then S
supreme.
Is like special. Yeah, yeah. Triple X.
No, that's
oh
the.
My gosh,
that's yeah. the DLC. Right?
We're not.
That's,
oh
that is the
no.
DLC. Watch out, coming to a game store
like,
near
how
you.
How do we get back from
that's
here?
Not
yeah, basically,
that's
now, down. Like I'm just like, how have they not made like you
so Devil May Cry?
Source engine stuff.
Oh, yeah. Dude, there's got to be engine. Some source engine. Yeah.
Did you hear that?
Speaking of source, sorry, go on.
Did you see that Detroit's now available on PC? I'm so ready for that source stuff.
Source filmmaker porn of Detroit is going to be pretty intense.
I'm ready.
There's already plenty of it. For,
so that was a fun
for Devil May Cry.
We'll come
don't
back
worry.
To that.
Sorry.
Don't worry. Speaking of source, so Nero, one of the characters in this game, has a bionic arm. you can actually switch out multiple bionic arms. One of the arms that you get early on in the game is a pasta. I think it's called the pasta breaker.
Oh my god!
It is literally a bionic arm with a fork at the end of it, and you use it to essentially throw at enemies, like it torpedoes into enemies, and then twists, like the fork twists, like you're twisting up some spaghetti, you know, just like get that good linguine action going on.
The good linguine action, DMC5, Prince.
It's fantastic. And because you can interchange these arms, you've got a lot of different ways to play with them. So you've got one that does like a corkscrew, similar to the fork. You've got one that kind of just like rockets at the enemies and just like pounds them down.
This needs to stop. This sounds like this is getting gradually.
A lot of innuendo.
Which
innuendo.
Is really thirsty, is all we're saying.
Yeah.
Adrian, I didn't know this about you.
Oh, you know, you're learning so much about
I'm
me.
Learning so much.
So
you
back
love
to
your
DMC5.
Back to me.
Back to DMC.
Yeah, yeah. So there's some really good arms that you can change between with Nero. And he also has a sword that he can rev up like a motorbike. So
what
really, really
on?
Cool, like metal edgy design choices there.
This is the most Japanese game I've heard
it's,
in a
yeah,
very long
it's,
time.
It's very interesting.
As far as the story itself, I imagine it's just like we're talking about the back and forth between gameplay and between storytelling, and the gameplay is great. The fact yeah. that it's kind of jarring between those two, but about the story itself, I imagine it's just kind of a little bit intense, insane, just
yeah, like
what is the story about?
You know, you are the three boys trying to fight back the demons, basically.
Right.
And early on in the
That's
game,
fun.
Dante gets himself into a little bit of a predicament, and it is up to then you, Nero, and then V to kind of figure out, okay, well, what's going on? Like, you don't really know if you can trust V, because he's just kind of there being edgy, and he's like, I'm here to do stuff.
And he's got a cane, and he's just like,
he's got a crow, and like,
he's wearing sandals for some reason.
Yeah, that's weird. I'm weird about
that. It's just, the story is weird in general. It feels like they're trying to be like a Hollywood movie. So the director of the game said he took inspiration from Mad Max Fury Road, one of the best action films of all time. Mm. Don't know if I'd compare that to Devil May Cry. One of the best action gameplay moment-to-moment, you know, systems. Mm. But in terms of a whole story, it feels like it's trying to do a Frankenstein impression of like what a Hollywood movie would be. Like there's an intro to the game which is very much modeled after Deadpool 1's intro with a slow-mo car sequence.
I love it.
That cutscene is phenomenal. I ended up watching that at the DMC launch party in Melbourne, and it's a great thing.
Yeah.
Also, just quick sidebar, because I don't believe you unlock this until you finish the game. Have you seen the live action cutscenes in
There's
the game?
There's, I
action.
Saw that I could download some.
So basically, they reshoot all of the cutscenes that are like animated in engine, right? Mm-hmm. Just normal cutscenes. Mm. They reenact these with like green screens and like makeshift sets and like green screening like characters over the top of more.
It's the room, Devil May Cry edition.
Yeah,
you know?
It's so wacky.
Oh, hi, and Dante.
You can just see all of the actors just having such a good time doing these dumb as hell cutscenes.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's insane.
It is very dumb. It is dumb as hell, but it's fun. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Like, the voice acting really did not pull it together in the end for me, but like, it's stupid fun. And going back to gameplay style, by the way, speaking of V, they actually really find a way to change up the gameplay when you play as V, which I thought was really interesting. He has an army of demons that he uses, so he doesn't have like a melee sword. He has the cane, but he only uses that to finish off enemies. So he can use, on the square button, you've got your crow, which does ranged attacks. triangle, you've got your panther, which does melee attacks. And you can also summon like a big demon when you build up enough energy. Mm. You're essentially trying to strafe and stay out of the enemy's way while from at range, you use your demons to kill the enemies. And then when they're weakened,
dirty. I like that.
He doesn't. Yeah. Correct. When they're weakened, you then go up and just like stick your cane in there and they just die.
We're not saying
stop it.
We're not.
Don't. Don't look at me like that. All right. Enough. No more double entendres, all right?
So you're bringing it on yourself,
so
let's
stop being so persnickety about all of my references, all right? I've had enough.
Let's round this one out, hey, guys. Let's
look, Devil May Cry 5, great time, good time. Didn't play enough of it to play Dante. I don't know if you get to play as Dante. I think you do. There was gameplay with him at TGS.
So we're still kind of early on.
Still making my way through it. Making my way downtown walking fast. You know, demon faces pass, and I'm not home now. Look.
What is going on in here?
It's a good time, not a great time. Jump into DMC5 if you want some stupid demon slaying action. Yep. It's dumb fun. Pacing could use a lot of work. I had a good time. I'm having a good time. I'm going to probably play some more when I get home.
Essentially, just play the game if you like Bayonetta, but you prefer it with pretty boys.
Correct.
Instead.
I stamp of approval.
Rev up your sword for those pretty boys.
DMC5 is now out on PS4, Xbox One. Is it out on PC?
It's on PC as well, apparently.
There you go. Oh, sick. Yeah. That Master Race got on board. That review went a lot longer than I was expecting.
You're welcome.
We loved it.
This has been an entire episode of Zed Games. It went way faster than I was expecting.
It was great. I loved it.
That was fun.
Good times, great classic hits.
Let's do it again. Let's do it again.
We went three.
Kate.
Calm down. It's happening. We're coming back
next
week.
I'm trying to make
week.
It happen,
dude,
Kate.
It's going to happen next
we'll
week.
Well, next. Hopefully everyone joins us on the socials.
Yeah. So Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at ZEDGamesAU. You can check out the podcast, which is Zed Games on iTunes and Spotify.
Give us a rating as well on iTunes.
Rate us.
It really helps us.
You love us.
Would you rate me?
Do you like us?
I'd rate you.
Would you swipe right?
Swipe right.
Swipe up.
I'm playing a
super
lot.
Likes.
No,
swipe down.
No one deserves.
Super dislike.
Into the bin. Don't swipe down on Zed Games.
Close app.
Thank you so much for hanging out, guys. We will see you next week.
We love you.
We super like you. We don't super dislike you.
Bye.
See ya.